The third period. We went from Adam to Noah, from Noah to Abraham. Now the third period is from Abraham to Moses. Salvation runs in this particular vein from Abraham's 70th year to the time of the giving of the law, which is 430 years, as Galatians 3:17 talks about. Short, but very notable. The nature of the covenant, the parties, the matter, the form, the end, in particular, are the things that we'll consider as we think about it. First, God called Abraham. What was Abraham? Abraham the Jew?
No, he's a
Gentile. Gentile. Called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees into Canaan, and there established a covenant of faith with him in Christ. That has three parts. God's call of Abram, his covenant with him, and that this was the covenant of faith concerning recovery in the Lord Jesus. Who does Paul use?
Abraham.
Noah is mentioned by the apostles, various different guys, but Abraham is like center stage. If you aren't like him, summing up the first six, seven chapters of Romans, if you're not like him, you're not saved. God called Abram out of his own kindred and country, Ur of the Chaldees into Canaan. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Genesis 12:1. I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Genesis 15:7. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees. Nehemiah 9:7. So the God of glory appeared to Abram to bring them into a land in which God said he would show them. What was that land?
Promised land.
Promised land? All right. So he calls Abraham out to bring him to a promised land. And whenever we deal with anything in the Old Testament, what are we dealing with?
Types and shadows.
Types and shadows. So the promised land is types and shadows of?
Heaven.
People get really tripped up at this. Hebrews says all these people died in unbelief in the wilderness, yes. Oh, so they all went to hell. That's not what he says. If you don't get into the promised land, do you go to heaven?
No, that's a little.
Depends on what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if the Israelites don't get into the promised land, do they go to heaven?
Yes, if they're allowed.
Ah. Do you know how difficult it is for Christians to get over that? That idea.
Well, Moses didn't get to go over.
Moses didn't get to go over. We'll talk about him later. Yeah, right. So, this call magnifies grace. Why? What was Abraham? Abraham was by descent the son of Terah. Seventh from Noah. And Noah was the 10th from Adam. God renewed the covenant with Noah, the 10th from Adam, with Abram, the 10th from Noah. By name, Abram means High Father. Terah named him. Terah named him after an earthly way. High father, rich guy, maybe. That idea in the midst of those people. God made him a high father indeed to natural and spiritual children. By religion, what was he?
Idolatry.
Mm-hmm. Pagan. Idolater. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 4:5. He was among those whom it was written, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Joshua 24:2. So he was corrupted in his education of God by learning idolatry. And in that particular ungodly state, he lived for 70 years. That's a long time. There's not a lot of people, technically speaking, that oftentimes get saved in old age. How many deathbed conversions do we have?
One.
One, right? We have one. Who's that?
The thief.
The thief on the cross? Yeah. And this is the ordinary means in which God works. Oh, no. This is the extraordinary, almost miraculous way that God worked at that particular time with that particular thief while Jesus was hanging on the cross. Very extraordinary, not something to base doctrinal lineage from in that particular way. Abram's native country, Ur of the Chaldees, it was a region east of Mesopotamia. It was between the two rivers, Euphrates and such, and the Chaldeans were notorious idolaters and astrologers. And Chaldean became synonymous with the idea of astrology. Some suppose even the name Ur means light, like stars in the sky or fire, being dedicated by idolaters and taking their children then and burning them in the fire. The land of Canaan, to which Abram was called, this land is frequently promised as a covenant blessing. It was in Asia, bounded west by the Great Sea, by the Euphrates, north by Lebanon, south by Arabia, narrow, but it abounded with treasure. It had a whole bunch of names in the Bible. The land of Canaan, that good land, the land of promise, the land of pilgrimage, the rest of God's people, the holy land, Jehovah's land, the mountain of his inheritance, the land of Emmanuel, Isaiah 8:8. Christ's throne and kingdom were seated in Canaan. There he was born, lived, preached, did miracles, died, was buried, and ascended. Special place. God's peculiar choice, a land which I had espied out for them, Ezekiel 26. Special care. But the land, whether you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year, Deuteronomy 11. That's an interesting thing, that God particularly chose a particular portion of this geographical area and set it as a type. His special presence was there. Plenty was there. What did they call it when they went and spied it out?
Land of plenty.
Land flowing with milk and honey. I'm still trying to get a diet after that. Sugar and dairy products. I love that. Mystical signification. Canaan below typified the heavenly Canaan above, so that dwelling in it was the kind of heaven on earth. Dying in faith was translation from one heaven to another. So Abram was called to this place that typified heaven. It's an interesting thing that particular names and ideas are given to heaven based on covenant ideas, right? Jesus talks about the rich man and Lazarus and they die. Where's Lazarus?
Abraham's bosom.
Abraham's bosom, right? Is that a different place? No. It's a covenant name based on all the stuff that God did with Abraham in that particular way. Dies was in hell. Abraham was in heaven. Lazarus goes and he's with Abraham in heaven. God's calling for Abram is ordinary and extraordinary. It's an interesting thing when you look at anything in the Bible especially when we deal with Old Testament ideas, types, shadows, things of that nature. There's always a now and not yet, an ordinary and extraordinary. There's always two sides to the balance in that way. Ordinarily, he calls everybody in the church to faith and repentance. Right? For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:14. And he calls everybody to a particular station. Every single one of you has a particular station. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Then there's also extraordinary things. Extraordinary calling to some special task. As Christ said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Matthew 19:21. Is that for everybody? Should everybody be poor? Should every single person in the church be poor?
No.
And if you took all that, everybody took their stuff and gave it to the poor, the whole thing would be like this loop that would just continue to happen day in and day. That's not what he's talking about, right? Yeah, exactly. Well, that's part of the difficulty of screwing it up. You know, okay, let's do this. We're going to be monks and we're going to give away all of our stuff and let people just provide for us. And that'll be that. No,
it's not.
Yeah, totally. Abraham was in this way extraordinarily called to leave his country and kindred, but also effectually called from idolatry to serve the living God. And they served other gods, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him. Joshua 24. He obeyed by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place where he should afterward receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. The time of his calling, I'm not going to get too far into it. He was 70. Sometimes people think it's 75. It's not 70. It's 70. And there's a particular reason for that. And the time that Paul gives in the coming of Christ from this particular time to the time Jesus comes, which is 430 years. God, having thus called him, established his covenant with him. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham. We'll talk about that later. And foundest his house faithful before thee and made a covenant with him. Nehemiah 9:7-8. God renews his promises with him seven times. He does it in Ur. He does it in Shechem. He does it after Lot's departure. He does it after the Battle of the Kings. He does it at age 99. He does it in Mamre before Sodom's overthrow. And he does it when he offers Isaac. Of these, three were covenant establishments. Galatians 3:17, in his calling. Second, in rescuing Lot in Genesis 15:18. And then at age 99 in Genesis 17:7, which we'll go over. Not today, but we will. Before he was called, he was ungodly and wicked. He needed to be changed. He was without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. Just like everybody, he's not saved. Ephesians 2:12. He was unfit for the covenant, and God first called, then gave him grace. Did he need to do anything?
As a fruit, there's
such as?
Good works of repentance, obeying God, going where he commands, setting things down, teaching his family.
That is correct.
All of grace.
Yes. Faith always moves. The first knot of promises, K-N-O-T, all those things tied up together, Genesis 12:12-3. What does he say to him? I'll make thee a great nation, so his posterity is involved. Benediction, I'll bless thee. Fame, I'll make thy name great, that he should be a blessing. He was God's friend. I will bless them that bless thee. Friendship is even part of it in furthering the friendship that Abraham has with God to others. Enmity, and curse him that curses thee, and universal blessing. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That, then, fulfilled in Christ the crown of all of it. If we were to place in this ordinary / extraordinary call, there was a great amount of self-denial that Abraham had to engage in. That's necessary preparation to Christ in communion with God. God purposed to reveal Christ to Abraham, not for himself only, but for his seed. To prepare him, he called him from idolatrous kindred and country, an emblem of the world, into Canaan, that type of heaven. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire for thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Psalm 45, 10 and 11. You leave that stuff, and you go do the good stuff. If any man will come after me, what does Jesus say? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9, 23. That statement in and of itself is an interesting statement, yes. You read into that all kinds of things post that verse. Because you're thinking, well, Jesus went to the cross, he did this, he was sacrificial, that hadn't happened yet. So he's come on the scene, we're only in the 9th chapter of Luke, and he says, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he can't be my disciple. I love that verse. It's a very hard verse, but I still like it. Hate, maybe one of Jesus's hard sayings. Hate doesn't really mean hate, does it? Got to hate your mother and father in comparison to Jesus? Miseo. Hate. You must hate. Huh, that's an interesting thing. Let's pick that one apart for a little while. We're not going to do it tonight, but I'm just saying. Think about what he's saying. In comparison to salvation with him, to walking with him, to being a disciple with him, to calling him Lord, everything else is not loved less. That is not what he says. It's hate. Because what people do is generally bad exegetes will take this and say, well, it just means love less. And then they jump over to Romans and they say, see, Jacob is loved and Esau is loved less. No. Nay, nay. Be not equally yoked with unbelievers. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18. God calls Abram to leave and hate everything else except for what I am directing you to do. God is infinite in purity, glorious in holiness, and I will be sanctified in those that draw near to me. I will be regarded as holy. Where's that from?
Leviticus 10:3.
God called Abram from his country, established covenant with him, and showed him why. Which we'll get into it on the next run.